Good morning. Happy Easter. I'm going to say something, and then you're supposed to say something back to me. It is a test. We do this every year. You never get it right. I'm hoping this year you will. Are you ready? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes! Okay, this isn't going to be too bad. We can make this work. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. It's page 796 in the Brown Bibles if you picked one up on your way in, if you like to follow along in the analog version. If you like the digital version, you can dial that up on your smart device. And as you're turning to Matthew 14, getting located and situated there, I want to tell you about one of my favorite new podcasts called The Rewatchables from the Ringer Podcast Network. And what The Watchables is this series of episodes, this podcast, where each episode there are a small group of movie buffs who get together to talk about their favorite rewatchable movies. And a rewatchable movie is exactly what you think it is. It's one of those movies that no matter how many times you've seen it, no matter how many times it's on TV, when you're flipping through the channels, if you still flip through the channels, when it's on, you know you have to stop. Doesn't matter where you have to be in 20 minutes, doesn't matter what's happening next, you know you have to stop and watch at least a few scenes, especially if you know your favorite scene is coming up. Now, listening to this podcast, and as you can imagine, a lot of their favorite rewatchable movies would be our favorite rewatchable movies, classic movies like Point Break and A Few Good Men and others. It also challenges you to come up with some of your own personal favorite rewatchable movies. And for me, easily making my top 10 list is Groundhog Day. Many of you already know this film. It's a classic about Phil Connors. Phil Connors, yes, Phil Connors, who is a deeply flawed individual who lives the same day over and over again until he finally gets it right. And one of the reasons I love Groundhog Day, and when it is on, I have to stop and watch, especially it's the last 20 minutes of the film where everything sort of comes together. It's this big setup and it all comes together. One of the reasons I love Groundhog Day is because I can identify with a story about a deeply flawed individual who needs multiple chances to get it right. It's also why I love Scripture so much, because the Scriptures are full of stories of deeply flawed people who need and receive lots and lots of chances from God to get life right. Simon Peter is one of the first disciples of Jesus, and he's a great example of this. There's this story in Matthew chapter 14, and all of Jesus' disciples are together in a boat on a lake. They're there all night, and just before dawn, Jesus, who had been on the shore, Jesus scares them all to death by coming to them by walking on the water. And they see him walking on the water and they totally freak out. And Jesus says, don't worry, don't be afraid. It's me. And Peter, who's in the boat, says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, well, come on. And so Peter gets out of the boat. He's the only one who does. Everybody else stays in the boat, but not Peter. He gets out of the boat and he starts walking toward Jesus on the water. We pick up the story in verse 30. It's when Peter saw the wind, which I assume he saw the waves. I don't know how you see the wind. I think that's the waves. When Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. First, let's give Peter credit for getting out of the boat. Nobody else did. Everybody else was content to watch. The scariest things might have been in the boat. It was still better to be in the boat than out on the water. Peter got out of the boat. His mistake, it seems, was that he took his eyes off of Jesus, which is very easy to do. And instead, he began to focus on the wind and the waves and Fear filled his heart. And when he takes his eyes off Jesus and focuses on what makes him afraid, Peter, whose name means rock, sinks like one. But he has the good sense, before he goes all the way down, kerplunk, before he goes all the way down, he cries out, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus is right there on the water, lifting him up. And he's marveling at his lack of faith. "Oh, you were so close. You know you were doing it, right? You were walking on water. What happened? Why did you look away? Why did you doubt? Why couldn't you just keep believing? Don't stop believing. It was working." And then Jesus helps him to the boat, safe and sound. And Peter will live to sink again. This is what I call a nutshell story. Do you have a story from your life that summarizes who you are, the essence of your personality, what it's like to be you in a nutshell? Like one story, maybe a story from your childhood, a story from college, maybe a story from a couple of weeks ago, but it nails who you are, so that if we didn't know you, but if you were to tell us this one story from your life, we would have a pretty good idea of who you are. It would just take one story, a nutshell story. Can you think of one from your life? So I can think of several. The oldest for me is when I was a little boy and I was with my mom and we were together at Kmart. And we were walking through Kmart looking for the blue light. A lot of you have no idea even what that means. We're in search of a blue light special and I was separated from my mom. I was lost. Now, she says she always knew where I was. Don't worry, son, I was always aware. But I didn't know where she was. And I made my way to the front of the store, found a store employee, told her I had lost my mom, and she says, "Well, tell me your name, and I'll announce it over the PA, and we'll get you back with your mom." And I told her my name, and the lady picked up the little PA microphone. "Attention, Kmart shoppers, we have a little boy who's lost his mother. He's at the front of the store. If you want to come pick him up, he says his name is Sam." And my mom, by this time, had already, she could see me, and she was making her way to the front of the store, and she saw me talking to the employee. She heard the announcement, and she gets to the front of the store. She said, "What, Sam? Why did you call him Sam?" And the lady said, "I kept asking him for his name, and he kept telling me, my name is just Sam. Just Sam. Just Sam." And my mom said, no, what he was saying is, my name is Shazam. That story tells you everything you need to know about me and what it's like to be me. And I got to tell you, I'm tired of being a misunderstood superhero. It's getting old. No, a darker spin on that story would be this. I've been spending the majority of my life trying to convince people that I'm special. And their response is always, "No, you're just Sam. You're just Wade. You're just whatever." Can you think of a nutshell story for your life? Maybe over Sunday brunch, Sunday lunch, maybe you go around the table today and you tell each other your nutshell stories. Here's one. Here's who I am. Is this story about Peter trying to walk on the water with Jesus? That's a nutshell story of his life. That tells us everything we need to know about who Peter is, what he does, what it's like to be his friend, how he responds to adversity, and why he keeps getting chance after chance after chance to get it right after he messes up. So what do we know about Peter's story? Well, we know he's usually the first one out of the boat. That's just who he is. That's his personality. He's bold and he's brash. He's impulsive. At the beginning of the gospel in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brothers fishing. They're throwing nets into the water. The first one mentioned in the story, therefore probably the oldest, probably the leader, is Simon Peter. And Jesus says to those two brothers, "You two come follow me." And immediately they leave their nets behind and they follow Jesus. Simon was always the first guy out of the boat. Later on in the story, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus circles up the disciples and he says, "Who are people talking, saying I am? Who do they say I am?" And everybody's got an opinion. And then Jesus says, "Okay, but how about you guys? Who do you say I am? Do you get it yet? Do you understand my identity?" And it's Peter Who is the first to say, "Yes, Lord, I know you are the Christ, the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for. You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus congratulates him and says, "Oh, Peter, that you see that, that is a gift from God. Not everybody is able to recognize that right now, but you do. You really are a rock. I can build my church on your faith and your confession, your recognition of who I am." It's a great moment for Peter, and he seems to see it before anyone else does, because he's usually the first one out of the boat. And then in Matthew chapter 26, before Jesus is arrested, he tells his disciples, he says, "Guys, you're going to abandon me. You're about to fail me. You will desert me. You're going to leave me all alone to go through the worst moment of my life." And it's Peter who is the first and the loudest to say, "Never, Lord, not me. These other guys, maybe so, but not me. I will die with you if I have to. I'm ready to go," because Peter is usually the first one out of the boat. But it is hard for a rock to walk on the water. And part of Peter's story is he keeps sinking. After he recognizes who Jesus is, after Jesus congratulates him for having spiritual insight, Jesus then begins to teach his disciples that for him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, it means that he's going to have to go to Jerusalem, suffer, and die a horrible death by crucifixion. And Peter interrupts Jesus and says, "No, Lord, you've got that completely wrong. You can't let yourself be crucified. We will never let you be crucified. That is absolutely foolish. You're the king. You're not going to die." And Jesus interrupts Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." When Jesus calls you Satan, you know you've messed up. "Get behind me, Satan. You're trying to keep me from doing what God is calling me to do." And just like that, the rock, who looked so good at first, he sinks, kerplunk. And then, later on in the story, when Jesus is arrested, and it looks like not only is he going to die, but anyone who associates with him could die as well, Peter does the opposite of what he said he would do and exactly what Jesus told him he would do. Peter abandons him, and then he denies him 3 times. "I don't know the man. I've never been with the man. No, I'm certainly not that man's friend." He calls down curses on himself to prove his sincerity to those who still think he's a part of Jesus' group. And then the rooster crows, just like Jesus said it would, and the rock sinks again, kerplunk. Peter's the first one out of the boat. And he sinks like a rock over and over again. And yet, every time he starts to sink, Jesus is there reaching down to lift him up and give him another chance. After Jesus has to rebuke Peter, calling him Satan, Jesus doesn't say, "You know what? You're too hard-headed to fool with. You're out of the club. Get out of here. I'm going to find your replacement." Instead, what Jesus does is he doubles down with Peter and the other disciples and says, "I know you still don't understand it, but here's why I have to carry a cross. And by the way, as my disciples, here's why you have to carry a cross as well." And he keeps teaching. He keeps showing. He keeps giving them an opportunity to understand so they'll be able to get it right when it really counts. And then after Peter denies Jesus and he is crucified, Jesus makes it a special point several days later, after he's raised from the dead, to find Peter, especially Peter, and say, "I still haven't quit on you. Don't you quit on me. I forgive you. I love you. I still have a place for you in my movement." And so Peter, this deeply flawed individual, gets a Groundhog Day moment of his own. After betraying and abandoning and denying his best friend at his darkest moment, he gets another chance to get it right. Boys love this classic comic strip, BC, by Johnny Hart. I'm going to show you one particular comic that ran years ago in Sunday newspapers all across the nation one Easter morning. Got a guy walking along. Who possibly could it be? Oh, now we know. It's water in the way, but he can walk on water. He walks on water, and then cock-a-doodle-doo, kerplunk, down again. And crawls out of the water, feeling sorry for himself. He's a failure. But then he comes upon an empty tomb. What could this mean? He walks in and looks one way and looks the other and realizes the tomb is empty, which leads him to say, yes! And that is the appropriate response for followers of Jesus who keep sinking and then come upon the empty tomb. Let me hear you say, yes! All right, you're going to have an opportunity to do that again in a few minutes. I want you to be ready for it, okay? It's going to be yes. Because this isn't just Peter's story. This is our story as followers of Christ. Because to be a follower of Christ means we have to, at some point, get out of the boat. We have to. Our faith demands it. Our trust in Christ demands it. We can't always play it safe. We have to be willing to take a risk. We have to act on what little faith we have to step out of the boat, especially if Jesus is over there and calling us toward Him. And so this morning I ask you, what boat is Jesus, the risen Jesus, calling you to step out of? Can you feel your heart stirring because there's something and you know it? You can't let Jesus and a few other disciples have all the fun. You got to get out of the boat and get on the water too. No holding back. What boat is Christ calling you to get out of today? Could it be that Christ is calling you to be baptized? This way of identifying publicly with Christ and pledging allegiance. This way that, similar to what Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, in baptism, you're declaring to all the universe, I believe in Christ and I follow Him. Could it be that Christ is calling you to literally step into the water with Him? What risks is Christ, the risen Christ, who not only walks on water but overcomes death, what risks is the risen Christ calling you to take? To step out into some unknown territory, to leave the known, the comfortable, the familiar, and to do something you've never done before, to try something you've never tried before, to initiate a conversation with someone you really care about. Maybe it's to extend an invitation. Maybe it's to offer an apology, to seek reconciliation. And it's a huge risk because you don't know how they'll respond, but you know the spirit of Easter is reconciliation, and you know you got to have that conversation. You got to make that invitation. You got to step out and leave something behind in order to move on to something new. What risk is the risen Christ calling you to take today? What change would Christ be calling you to make, inviting you to change something about your life? Here's the deal with resurrection and Easter. Jesus didn't come back from the dead to tell us, you know what, everything's fine as it is. Keep doing the status quo. It's working for you. The risen Christ comes back to say, no, all of this can be brand new, starting with you. So what change is the risen Christ calling you to make? What rut is He calling you out of? Is this the first worship gathering you've been to in months? Maybe years? And it feels a little awkward. You're a little uncomfortable. But there's also something about it that feels right, like this is home, this is where you're supposed to be. And could it be that what Christ is calling you to do, that the change Christ is calling you to make, is that next week you get out of the boat by getting out of the bed and coming here once again, two Sundays in a row? Because there's this mysterious sense that you belong here and that you feel closer to God and that somehow by being here, you're reaching up, hoping, longing for something more by sharing this journey with other deeply flawed people who are also reaching up for something more, and you feel closer because you're here rather than when you're not. Sometimes it's just that simple. Getting out of the boat means showing up again. But to be a follower of Christ means at some point, we can't let Peter do it all for us. We got to get out of the boat too. And yet inevitably, part of our story as followers of Christ is when we do get out of the boat, we step out onto the water, we immediately realize the wind is stronger and the waves are bigger than they initially appeared. It happens every time. It's not as easy as it looks. And our faith wanes, and we begin to wonder, have I made a huge mistake? Can I really do that? Can I keep walking on water? And we take our eyes off of Jesus. Our hearts are filled with fear. And the rooster crows, kerplunk, and we begin to sink. We fail. We fall. We blow it. We fail to keep our promises. We let go. We quit. We give up. But Christ doesn't give up on us. He didn't quit on Peter, and he never quits on us. He's always there, ready to lift us up and give us another chance. One of the reasons the Easter story is so rewatchable, so retellable, is because that scene, you know the one, that scene where the risen Christ reaches down into the water to lift us up out of our failures and our disappointments, to give us another chance to get it right, that scene, it never gets old. I can tell it, I can watch it, I live it over and over again. And the church, disciples of Christ, have been rewatching and retelling this story and celebrating this scene for 2,000 years now. One of the reasons Easter is good news is because it means we get another chance to get it right. There's this great story at the very end of the Gospel of John. The risen Christ appears to his disciples. They're in a boat and they're fishing. And Peter is among them. And the risen Christ is on the shore and he calls out to them and they recognize him. And when Peter sees that it's the risen Christ on the shore, you're never going to guess what he did. He jumped out of the boat and headed toward Jesus. May we all do the same this Easter Sunday morning. Let's get out of the boat and head toward the risen Jesus. And even though we may sink, the risen Christ never lets us down. He's always there to lift us up and give us another chance. And that's why the church's response to the empty tomb has always been, yes! Let's stand and sing.